Let's read together John chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. In these verses, the Lord makes a number of promises to his disciples, including the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of these promises apply to the believer today. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. All right, first of all, let's look at a few background notes that will help us better understand what is being promised here. John 14 is part of the so-called Upper Room Discourses. The Upper Room Discourses were not given to the general public, but only to the disciples. The Upper Room Discourses begin in John chapter 13, after the foot washing and the Last Supper, and they continue right on to chapter 17. In the beginning of this chapter, chapter 14, the great promise of the Lord's return for his own is given in verses 2 and 3. Now here in these verses before us, we have some further promises for the believer, including the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, the Lord said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Was the Lord referring here to his resurrection or to the coming of the Holy Spirit? In view of verses 19 and 20, I think we could say that the Lord had both of these events in mind. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Here the Lord is referring to his resurrection. Note that his resurrection is a pledge of our own resurrection. Verse 20, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Here the Lord is referring to that day when he would ascend to the Father's right hand, and the Holy Spirit would be sent. It is the Holy Spirit who assures us of these great truths. And you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So then, in verse 18, we believe that the Lord had both his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit in mind when he said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now, one more background note. The Judas that's mentioned here in verse 22 is probably the same disciple that's called Levius or Thaddeus in Matthew chapter 10 and Mark 3. More we could say, but let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, every Christian is guaranteed great ministry and effective prayer. Every Christian is guaranteed great ministry and effective prayer. Let's talk about the promise of great ministry first. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, what did the Lord mean by this statement? The main idea here is greater in extent. The Lord was not saying here that because he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, we can expect to feed 10,000 with 3 loaves and 1 fish. Or the Lord is not saying here that because he raised Lazarus from the dead, we should expect to do the same. No. The Lord is speaking primarily here about the greater effects of Christian ministries that were to follow his ministry. Now, it is true that the Lord was speaking directly here to his disciples. And of course, they did perform literal miracles after the coming of the Holy Spirit. Think of Acts chapter 5, where the shadow of Peter passing over those who were sick healed them. Acts chapter 19, cloths brought from the body of Paul were able to bring healing to many. But you see, when the Lord says, he, not you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. The Lord is really referring here to any Christian, not just the disciples. The greater works are not physical miracles, but the work of spreading the gospel around the world under the power of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came to Christ through Peter's preaching, more than in all the 3 years of our Lord's earthly ministry. In one TV broadcast, Billy Graham reaches more people for Christ than the Lord did in his earthly ministry. Verse 12 applies to you as well. You can be involved in a ministry that reaches thousands of people, not just in Israel, where the Lord's ministry was confined, but around the world. What a promise. Greater works, greater in extent. Every Christian is guaranteed great ministry. But you have to get involved. That's a prerequisite. What about the promises of effective prayer? Every Christian is guaranteed great ministry and effective prayer. Verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a promise. Lord, I pray that you will make me the wealthiest person in Chicago. Will the Lord answer that prayer? Probably not. I've tried it. No, that's not so. What about, Lord, make me the wealthiest person in Chicago so I can give 90% back to you? Will the Lord answer that prayer? Probably not. Is it because we forgot to tack on the formula in Jesus' name? No, verse 14 is not given as a formula. To ask in the name of Jesus is to ask in accordance with his will. Only when we ask in accordance with the Lord's will is the Lord glorified, verse 13. So maybe not being the wealthiest Christian in Chicago brings God more glory. Now, some of you might be saying at this point, well, this guarantee is not much of a promise. On the contrary, it is a great promise. Lord, help me to love my wife more. Lord, help us to have a more Christ-centered home. Lord, help us to share Christ with our non-Christian friends. God will answer these prayers. They are in accordance with his will. Every Christian is guaranteed great ministry and effective prayer. Doctrinal point number two. Every Christian is guaranteed great comfort and effective counsel. Every Christian is guaranteed great comfort and effective counsel. This great promise, of course, refers to the Holy Spirit, verses 16 and 17. And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Notice that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but he. He's not an influence. He's the third person of the Trinity. The word helper or comforter here in verse 16 comes from the Greek word paraclete or parakletos, and it means one who comes alongside to help in time of need. Now that help may be advice, it may be teaching, it may be encouragement, it may be exhortation, it may be comfort, it may be strength, it may be even defense. The same word is used in 1 John 2 and verse 1 and translated advocate. 1 John 2 verse 1. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All this is involved in this word paraclete. Whatever help you need, the Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside to help in time of need. And it's guaranteed for every Christian. What a promise. Every Christian is guaranteed great comfort and effective counsel. Notice in verse 17 that the guarantee of the Holy Spirit is only for the Christian, not for the world. As believers, we're different. We have an advantage. We have an unseen advantage. We have God. Talk about confidence for the future. I'd also like you to notice in verse 17 that the future tense is used here. For he, that is the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and will be in you. When the Lord spoke these words to his disciples, it was before Pentecost. It was still Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit was here, but not indwelling the believer. He came upon different individuals at different times for different purposes. But now the Holy Spirit has come and he indwells every believer. 1 Corinthians 6:19, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And notice verse 16 says, forever, that he may abide with you forever. What a promise of assurance. You need assurance? You need encouragement? You need help of any kind, any comfort, any counsel? Because of the Holy Spirit, every Christian is guaranteed great comfort and effective counsel. What about practical application? We can experience heaven on earth. We can experience heaven on earth. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. What more could we ask for from God? For the Lord to love us and manifest himself to us, verse 21, and for the Father and the Son to make their home with us, verse 23, why, this is heaven on earth. In fact, the word abode here in verse 23 is the same word that's used for the mansions of heaven back there in verse 2. You can experience heaven on earth. Now it's true, heaven is not on earth, but you can begin to experience what heaven will be like while you are here on this earth. Now some of you are saying at this point, I'm sure, Dave, I believe that, but what's the secret? The secret's given right here. The secret is obedience. Look how obedience is the prerequisite that's mentioned both in verse 21 and verse 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Keeping his commandments, verse 21, keeping his word, verse 23. Notice the difference, by the way. To keep the commandments is to keep the black and white commands of Scripture. To keep his word, that's to keep the will of his desire. Flee youthful lust, that's a command. To remember the Lord and the Lord's Supper, that's his word. That's the secret for coming to know what heaven on earth is all about. You can experience heaven on earth if you are obedient. Obedience is not really hard. If you really love the Lord, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love the Lord and keep his commandments and his word, we can experience heaven on earth.